Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. The question to be wrestled is, what does the Bible say happens to you when you die? So we want to address that. There's a lot of things circulating around about it. And I just want to get down to the truth, because that's all that we care about is the truth. So let's jump in. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you'd give me wisdom, Lord. I ask that you increase my faith, and anyone listening, that you would let your truth be spoken, and that you will be, every man will be declared a liar, and you will be true. That we just thank you that you actually give us the answers to the questions that we have, and just don't lead us astray with confusion. Thank you for your clear answer through your scriptures of what life is about. And what meaning is, of what the meaning of life is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for dying for each and every one of us. In your name, I just praise you. Amen. Okay, so what does the Bible say happens to you when you die? 10 out of 10 people die. It's important. You can't ignore this. You can try to ignore it. Many people live life ignoring it. Some people live life on the edge because they have a belief that nothing happens when you die. Some people think that you're, you know, going to have reincarnation, or you're in some type of limbo. They have Catholic beliefs that they don't really necessarily practice, but they just have some kind of background belief that when they die, they're going to be judged, or that, you know, there's going to be some type of special place that they go to. Well, look, let's just get it right out here. Let's get the truth clearly from the scriptures of what happens when you die. There's three points I want to use to explain this. Major themes, and there's more subcategories to it, but I just want to use these three things that I believe scripture is saying clearly, and I'm going to read it to you, happens when you die. First one, judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. 1 Peter 4:3-5, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. But they will give account to him who was ready to judge the living and the dead. Romans 14:10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Bottom line for point number one, you are judged for everything that you have done on this earth. Everything. Jesus says that even the words that you speak, not one word will not come into judgment. That is the absolute truth. There's no reincarnation. You're not coming back as your favorite animal, as your favorite person, or whatever it may be. It's just a lie. No limbo period. We didn't even get into that, but just straight judgment when you die. That's the very first thing that happens to you according to the scriptures. And there's numerous scriptures. I'm just trying to keep it short for the context of our time. But judgment is the immediate thing that's waiting after you. The things that you said, the things that you've done, the things that you even thought, it says in scriptures that God, he sees the thoughts of man. He gets disgusted by our thoughts. So all of those things will come right into judgment. The second thing that happens is reward. Revelation 20:11-15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 11:18, and the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came from the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. There's many more scriptures about it. But there's a reward that happens based on that judgment. Based on your judgment, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. It's simple. It's very simple. It's exactly what the people who you may have heard say that, and you said that they were knuckleheads. I'm telling you, it's exactly what God's saying, that you and I will be judged. And the books will be opened up, and every single thing you did or said or thought will be in it. And you and I will be judged and given a decree to go to either heaven or to go to hell. That is the absolute truth. And the third part of it is eternity. Revelation 14:11 says, "And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night." Those are the people who have the judgment or reward of hell. Matthew 25 speaks of the same thing for people who enter into hell. "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. These will go away into eternal punishment.'" Matthew 13, 41 to 42, 49 to 51, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to Jesus, "Yes." Heaven, what does it say about eternity in heaven? Just stopping right there, we're reading it as saying that where you go, you stay forever. Where you go, you stay forever. Those three verses I read, those three pieces of scripture were for hell. Here's how it works with heaven. Revelation 21, 3-5. "And I heard a loud voice saying from the throne, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" Revelation 22, 3-6. "There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp and the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever.' And he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true.'" Eternity is how long we will be in that place that we are assigned. So let's just wrap it up and say there are three things that happen when you die. You're judged for your sin. You are given the reward for that judgment, whether that be to heaven or that be to hell. And the last place is, wherever you go, you stay there permanently. There was a parable I spoke about earlier in the week. And then it's in Luke 16 where it's not a parable, it's a real story. Jesus gave of a man, a rich man, and a poor man named Lazarus. Lazarus was a believer, the rich man was not. The rich man and Lazarus died. The rich man was in hell. And he wanted to escape. He was asking, you know, if he could leave, if he could just come over from that side. And he was told, no, you can't. And he wished that he could leave and go and warn his brothers, his five brothers, but he could not. Jesus warns about it. Jesus talks about it. He talks about the fact that there's a judgment, there's an afterlife, and to be prepared for it. He says that if you have beef with somebody and they're going to go take you to court, you make sure you get everything right with them. You make sure you try to get on their good side. You try to beg with them. You plead them because you fear the outcome of what the judge will say. How much more so should you do with your eternal life? How much more so should you do with what happens to you after you die? He asks people to be prepared. He talks about a man who had so much riches, so much. He said, you know what, let me just go build a nice bank for myself because I have so much, I can't even store it. And that very night it says the Lord commanded his soul of him. And Jesus says, so it is with those who are rich towards themselves and not rich towards God. And the idea is to be rich towards God because this judgment is coming. Now the next question someone may ask, and I'm going to get more into this later on in another podcast, but the next question someone will ask is, well, how do you get to heaven then? Okay, so I'm going to be judged. And if I'm going to be judged for any sin, I'm going to be guilty because I know I've sinned. You've sinned. Everyone sinned. I've sinned. And Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Just how many sins? Just one. If your wages for an hour is 10 hours, it's $10. Well, once you work 1 hour, you're going to get the $10. That's it. Well, the wage for sin is death. Any sin is worth death, eternal damnation. So there's an issue that everybody's going to die. Of course, we said 10 out of 10 people die, and 10 out of 10 people have sinned. 10 out of 10 people will have to be judged. 10 out of 10 people will be found guilty. Well, then how then do you become one of those people that go to heaven and not go to hell? And herein lies the reality. Herein lies the truth. Herein lies why people are so excited about Christ, why people are so thankful. Because here's the secret that someone has may never have told you, but heaven cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. It's easier for you to be the president of the United States before you can go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus says, you've got to be perfect like my Father. You've got to be perfect. We fall short of the glory of God. We've got to be like God. We've got to have His holiness to dwell with Him in heaven. You nor I have that holiness. We have a problem. You know, it's easy. I mean, you'd sooner go to hell than you would find a penny on the ground. Because all it takes is one sin. That's once. All Satan has to do is tempt you once in your life. And he's put you on the road to judgment where he will be. Because Satan, remember, is going to hell. Jesus says in Matthew that that's what hell was made for Satan and his angels. They're not there yet, but it was prepared initially for them. He wants to take as many people as he can, including you and me, with him. All he has to do is tempt you once and get you to sin. It's important to understand that heaven cannot be earned. Religion will tell you, okay, do this, do that, go here, pray this, go to church on Sundays, give to charity. You have to do all these things, go here, make a trip here, there once a month. But the reality is the wages of sin are death. You're going to be judged for your bad deeds. You can't escape it. God says in the scriptures that even if you wash yourself with soap, and you wash yourself with lie, your iniquities are still on you. I still see it. Well, that's the issue, is that God made heaven a free gift. It's free, but it's not cheap. Because he loves the world so much, he sent his son to give heaven as a free gift so that he would be judged, he would be crushed, he would be punished, so that everyone else can have the righteousness of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God. Jesus himself came and said that. He testified of himself. He said in John 3:14-16, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 8:51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Then he closed and said, do you believe this? And that's what I want to ask you. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because this is the most important decision you can make, because you will die one day. And this isn't about scaring you, or this isn't like, oh, let me back you into a corner with death and hell. It's the reality that you need a savior. You know, it's like when someone wants to live their life eating as much as they want to eat, and they eat, you know, they eat fried foods, they have nice sweets, and it's like they live life completely irresponsible. They spend money the way they want to spend, and someone has to come and say, diabetes is on your path if you keep it up. A kidney stone, heart failure, kidney disease, if you keep it up. You'll be in debt if you keep it up. That's almost the real conversation of it, is that, listen, you may think that your life is working for you apart from God, but you're going to die one day, and you're going to meet him, and you're going to get judged. You're not going to go to a pretty nice place with flowers. Neither did Hitler, and neither will you. They're going to go and see God and be judged. And the only way that you can escape judgment is by having Jesus Christ, by being born again. It's by what he did that will allow you to go to heaven. It's because of his righteousness. It says that we've been saved by grace through faith, so that we can't boast. We can't get to heaven and say, oh, I earned it. No, you can't do that. You can only say, oh, by him, by what he did for me. And I invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to really think about what I'm saying, to really let it sit with you. Are you born again? Where will you stand if you would die tonight? Where would you stand? Do you want to trust what the world tells you, that every 5 years or 5 months they're changing some type of scientific discovery? One day they're telling you that chocolate's good for you. The next day they're telling you it's bad for you. One day they're telling you they found the missing caveman. The next day they're realizing, oh no, someone just made him into a duck and put a man's body on him. And I mean, do you want to listen to what the world says? Or do you want to listen to the scriptures? Has been around for thousands of years. I'm reading the same book that people were reading in 2000 BC. I'm reading the same Old Testament on my iPhone that Jesus read. I have the same New Testament scripture that people were reading back in 400 AD. I'm reading the same letters that people were reading back in 50 AD. Still completely flawless. Flawless. The most accurate piece of ancient literature we have. It's the word of God. That's why. Why was it written in Greek? Because Greek is an amazing language. Greek isn't like English, where you can say, I love this, but the love means the same. You can't distinguish what kind of love. Where Greek, you can have different types of love and different words, and you know when they're saying the word him, you know which him they're talking about. You don't have to be confused because the language is so precise. So that's why God used that language. That's why he used Aramaic. He wants his word to be clear, and it's been translated to so many different languages and all has the same root. And here it is telling you that you will be judged for your sin if you don't know him. And so it's an important decision for you to make right now. Right now. Right now. Where will you go when you die? Are you saved? And let me tell you, if you don't know the Lord, this is the only heaven you will ever get. But if you know the Lord already, this is the only hell you're ever going to get. And let me tell you something. When you become born again, going to heaven is just one of the many things. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. He's come to give abundant life, joyful life, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's come to add those things to your life. He's come to live inside of you. He hasn't just come to just take away hell. He's come to live with you and have a relationship with you, to take you out of the bondage that you have in your life, because there's bondage. People may look at you and think that there's nothing wrong, or people may look at you and see all the things wrong, but Christ is a loving friend, a companion that wants to take away death, and he wants to take away the bondage that you're in. I told you that all Satan had to do was get you to sin once, and you're going to hell with him. Well, that's why I said that Jesus Christ defeated Satan on the cross, because now all his work, all his hard work of getting us to sin so that we go to hell and all those different things, because of Christ, we can now be forgiven. See, before we couldn't be forgiven because we can't take away our own sin. It says in Isaiah 64:6 that our good deeds are like filthy rags. They're like menstrual pads to God. It doesn't matter what kind of good deed we do. We're still rotten to the core with sin. So I encourage you, if you heard this and it sits well with you, that you would repent. How do you be saved? How do you become born again? Repent. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry I lived my life apart from you. Come inside of my heart. Live inside of me. I want to be born again. I want to be born anew. That's how you do it. That's how we all entered. Go find a church. Go find a church that lifts up the scriptures. They don't lift up a pastor. They don't lift up, you know, their church building or money or anything monetary, but they lift up the scriptures and Jesus, and they see him as Lord and God and Savior, and get plugged into a church and get baptized. But now is the time. If someone say, well, when's the right time to do it? When you hear it, when you understand it. Today is the day of salvation. If today's the day that you understand and you hear it, well, then today is the day. Today is the day. So, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak here, and I ask that you would just convict every heart to believe in you, Lord. In your name, amen.